I believe that this is a message the Lord has laid on my heart. I've been studying it in my own quiet time for a number of weeks now, and I've been thinking upon it. And I was very interested to see our brother Trevor bringing the message that he brought for the children's talk, because it somewhat ties in with what we want to think about today. And he didn't know, of course, what I was going to speak on. So I believe that it's a message from the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and the verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings, and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour, and this was my portion of all my labour. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labour that I had laboured to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which has been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly, as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, that is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man? As the fool. Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me. For all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labour, which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labour wherein I have laboured, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. Amen. And we know that God blesses his reading of his word. Let's just bow for prayer. This is the writer of the book of Ecclesiastes. Some commentators would maybe cast doubt on this, but we can find there in Ecclesiastes 1 in the verse 12, it tells us, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. And in verse 16, I communed with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. There are other verses as we read through the book of Ecclesiastes that point to Solomon as being the writer of this book. Solomon indeed lived his life and did many things that pleased the Lord. But we have to say here today that Solomon did many things that displeased the Lord. He built the temple. The Lord gave Solomon wisdom. He was probably the richest king ever to rule over Israel, or any other nation for that matter. Solomon, given the option by the Lord, he chose wisdom over riches. Solomon chose to have wisdom all the days of his life. And whenever Solomon had penned the words that we find there in the Song of Solomon, that is written as a love story. Solomon had found God. He was declaring his newfound love. Then whenever we read the book of Proverbs, Solomon declares all of the wisdom that God had given to him. Then as we come to the book of Ecclesiastes, we discover that Solomon is here towards the end of his life. As Solomon pens the book of Ecclesiastes, he is at the final stage of his life, as it were. He's there, he's standing, looking back over his life, and he begins to write the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, it shows the vanity, the hollowness, the unprofitableness of the human pursuits and the possessions that we so often chase after. Whenever these things are made the chief goal, whenever these things are the chief desire of man, as we read through the book of Ecclesiastes, we see how empty and how worthless these things really are. We discover here in Ecclesiastes that these things don't satisfy the soul. Solomon here has personally tried all of the worldly ways in which man seeks to satisfy his soul. How do we know? Well, we read them there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I list them for you very quickly. Verse 1, it's pleasure. Verse 2, laughter, mirth. Verse 3, he gave himself unto wine, wisdom, folly. Verse 4, great works. Verse 4, building me houses. And those houses that he built, they were palaces. They weren't just your average three-bedroom semi-detached. They were great palaces. They were mansions of all mansions. He planted vineyards. He made gardens, orchards, grew fruits, pools of water. He got himself servants. He also had great possessions. He gathered silver and gold, peculiar treasures. He had men singers and women singers and musical instruments. So Solomon had even his own orchestra there to entertain him as regards to music. Then in verse 9, Solomon simply says, "So I was great. I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem." So here I am now and I have so many possessions. I have so much asset and so much possessions in abundance that I have more now than any man ever had before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. So not only did Solomon have great possessions, he also had wisdom as well. Sometimes people have wisdom and no possessions. And sometimes people have possessions and no wisdom. But Solomon had these things in abundance. Now in the book of Ecclesiastes, as Solomon reflects over his life, he gives us his experience in his old age. Solomon depended on the arm of the flesh. As time went by, sadly, he departed from the first love that he had with the Lord. He wanted to safeguard all of his possessions. He looked at the wealth that he had and he valued it, he treasured it, he loved it indeed. And he said to himself, "How can I protect all the things that I have?" So what Solomon began to do was he made military alliances with those heathen nations around about where he lived. To do this, he married the daughters of those heathen kings. They were heathen women, and it has to be said that sadly they turned Solomon's heart away from God. Well, you turn over there to 1 Kings chapter 11. You will see it for yourself, 1 Kings and the chapter 11. And we will discover there exactly what it says concerning Solomon. 1 Kings and the chapter 11 and verse 1. "But Solomon, King Solomon, loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonites, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, Ye shall not go in unto them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass that when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Verse 6, "Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father." So you will see there very clearly that Solomon, he was chasing after the things of this world, whereas his father, his heart was not set on the things of this life. At the end of Solomon's days in old age, he surveys his life. How did I spend my life? How did I spend my life? Can I ask you today in Korean, how are you spending your time? How are you spending the years which God has given so graciously to you? How are you spending your time on this earth? Is your heart full of desire and thirst for the things of life? The pleasures, the possessions, all of the attractions of this old life, wealth, power, possessions and achievement? Or is your heart and your mind fixed on the God of heaven? Let's consider ourselves very quickly in the light of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. With all of Solomon's achievements, he was still only a man. As I read this chapter in Ecclesiastes, I have to ask myself three simple questions. And the first of these questions is simply this. What is man? What is man? Did you ever ask yourself that question? What is man? This question is asked three times in the Bible. It's asked in Psalm 8, verse 4 and 5, Psalm 144, verse 3, and Job 7, verse 17. Man was the crowning glory of God's creation. Trevor already has told us that simply in the children's address today already. But God had made man to be the icing on the cake. God had created the earth. He had created all things that was in it. And he made man. He made all of those things so that man could enjoy them. So that man could treasure them. He placed man on the earth and gave man dominion over all of the animals. All of the things that was there. It tells us in Psalm 8 that he made man a little lower than the angels. God gave man honor. He gave him the honor to live in the earth which God had made for man. He was created on the sixth day. He was made from the dust of the ground. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You look there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 in the verse 20. It simply says, Solomon, remember, is at the end of his life. He's looking back over his years. And what does he say? He says, all go unto one place. All are of the dust. And all turn to dust again. So man is dust. He's only dust. The Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. That is why God made man. He made man that he might bring glory and honor to God. That he might enjoy God and enjoy him forever. This was why God made man. We don't belong to ourselves. I'm sure you know that. The verse is there and we don't have time to turn to them today. But we find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 19 to 20. It tells us there that we are not our own. It tells us there that we have been bought with a price. We belong to God. If we're saved here today, we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. So man's chief end is to bring glory to God. Can I ask you today, what would you say is your chief end in life? What is your chief end in life? Is it to bring glory and honor to the name of the Almighty God of heaven? Is it to glorify God in all you do and all you say? Or maybe it's to bring glory to yourself. Maybe it's to see that you are successful, to see that you have all of these great things in life. The Bible account as to the question, what is man, is just what we have considered. What is man? Man was made from dust. Man was the crowning glory that God made on the earth. That was what man was. If you want to know what is man, that's what the Bible says that man is. He was made on the sixth day and he was the crowning glory of God's creation. So the question is asked, what is man? How would we answer? We would maybe say that man is brave. He's strong. He's mighty. He's hardworking. He's generous. He's kind. He's affectionate. He's loving. He's comforting. He's patient. He's tender. He's wise. He's shrewd. He's truthful. He's honest. He's dependable. He's punctual. There are so many words that we can use to describe man. I have one written in here, and it's simply the word perfect. And I can say here today that I'm the only man here that's perfect amongst you this morning. And maybe you wonder why. Well, I have scriptural proof of it. If you turn to Psalm 37, verse 37, you will see that it says there, Mark, the perfect man. So I am the only perfect man in the building here today. And if there's any other marks in the congregation, well then you are perfect as well. But there are many words that we can use to describe ourselves. Which of these words describes you? All, some, or none?
Or maybe you fit into this category. What is man? He's cheeky. He's hurtful. He's slack. He's dishonest. He's a gossiper. He's unkind. He's wasteful. He's a liar. He's disobedient. He's weak. He's wicked. He's deceitful. He's lustful. He's greedy. He's afraid. He's hateful. He's late. He's undependable. He's lazy. He's manipulative. He's scheming. He's selfish. And many, many more. Which of those words describe you? Some, all, or none? That is man's account as to what is man. But let us see, really, what is man? Let us ask the question today, what is man? Psalm 51, verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Romans 3:10-11, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Jeremiah 17, verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked." You know, friend, today, whenever we ask the question, what is man? I have to tell you today that man in the sight of God is absolutely nothing. Whenever you stand back and you look at men and women today and you see them with all of their pomp and all of their pride and all of their pride of life and all of their arrogance and all of their busyness and all of their enjoyment in life, man is nothing. Man is absolutely nothing. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And the verse 15. Isaiah chapter 40 and the verse 15. "Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing." Verse 22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." So the nations, in the sight of God, are a drop in the bucket. We, the man, the inhabitants of the earth, we're just as grasshoppers in the sight of God. I'm sure many of you here today have stood on a snail, or stood on a spider, or stood on a grasshopper, or an ant, or some small insect, or even a fly. And to us, they are nothing. They are so small and so tiny and so insignificant. Oh, there's plenty more. You drive over, or you walk on a snail or a spider and it's squashed. There's plenty more. It means nothing to us. But in the sight of God, we are nothing. That is how small and insignificant we really are. In the sight of a holy God, we are grasshoppers. The sinner stands in his rebellion, in his pride of heart, and he argues with God. He defies God. But to God, really, he is nothing. Man thinks that God is inferior to him. He thinks that God almost has to give account to man as to why God does what he does. And then there's the Christian. They believe that they are so important. The Christian believes that they are here forever. The Christian believes that they are in all things well and truly blessed themselves. But they fail to realize that they are only sinners saved by grace. Grace is receiving what we don't deserve. Mercy is God withholding what we do deserve. You know, friend, here today in Coleraine, I'll ask you the question now. What is man? Man is nothing. Man is simply nothing. I don't know what you class yourself or how you class yourself or how important you think yourself to be. But no matter how important you think yourself to be, you're simply nothing. All of us are simply nothing in the sight of a holy God. Man is nothing. The second question that I want to consider is, what is life? What is life? We read there in Genesis that God made man and he breathed life into man. So, what is life? All of us here today have life. As I look down on the gathering today, all of us are alive and well. I don't think there's anybody that has left us here yet. But we all have life. We're all in good health and strength. We are here. We're alive and well. What is life? The dictionary says that life is our existence, our duration of days, our time on the earth. What is life? Man says life is eating, drinking, being merry, having a party, being happy, being increased in goods, and having a good time. What is life? God says that life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. James 4:14, Job 10:20, are my days not a few? Job 7:6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Job 8:9, our days upon earth are a shadow. 1 Corinthians 7:29, the time is short. Psalm 89:47, remember how short my time is. Psalm 103:14-15, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. We must remember that life is brief. Life is short. Yes, it is true to say that our life is the time that we have upon this earth. But we must also realize and remember that it's short. It is brief. And we must also bear in mind, what is man's chief end? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So in the time that we have on this earth, it's brief, it's short, so what ought we to do? We ought to bring glory and honor to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Life must be enjoyed. It must be enjoyed and lived with eternity in mind. We must always remember to put God first in our lives. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. The problem is, too many Christians are enjoying life. And they're putting themselves first and wanting all of the good things in life. We must put God first. We must work in this life with eternity in mind. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 19. Matthew chapter 6 and the verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I wonder today, where is your treasure? I wonder today, where is your heart? The Bible is clear, and this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Friend, today, if we are accumulating wealth and treasure in this life, on this earth, surely our heart has to be here. How can we think heavenward? How can we think about eternity? How can we think about the glory land whenever all we can think about here is accumulating and wealthing a mass of assets on this life? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 17 and 18. Solomon stands back and he simply says, and I read this. I started off in Psalm number 8 with the verse 4, what is man? And I followed the links through the margins in my Bible, in my own Bible study, and I ended up in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And I read this verse 17. Therefore, I hated life. I hated life. And in verse 18, Solomon says, I hated all my labor. So Solomon hates life, and he hates his labor. Why did Solomon say this? Why did Solomon say that he hated life? I'm sure you've maybe met people who hate life. Maybe a young person. Maybe an older person. Maybe things has went wrong in their life. Their marriage, their home, their children, their work, their education, their employment, their finances. Something has went wrong in their life and they stand back and they say, I hate life because of the circumstances of life. They're poor. Things is hard. Times is tough. I hate life. Maybe they hate life because they have underachieved. Whatever their reason is, they hate life. And Solomon was here, a mighty king, a man to whom God had given much, and wisdom as well. And he says, I hate life. Solomon hated life not because he was an underachiever. He hated life because as he looked back over his life, he had wasted his life. Solomon was here now at the end of his days, and he looked over his life, and he said, I hate life. Because I have wasted it. I have squandered it. I have spent my life unwisely. Friend, today if you're here and you're a child of God, I would encourage you and I would exhort you to spend your time wisely. My mother is very unwell at the minute. She's in hospital, has been for about 5 or 6 weeks now. She is very, very unwell. And over these number of weeks, there has been
various circumstances and instances, if you like, in my own personal life, to make me stand back and ask the question, what is man? As I look at a loved one there lying in a bed, very, very ill, I ask myself the question, what is man? And I ask the question, what is life? And I have concluded that man is nothing in the sight of God. And as I look at the question, what is life, I have to conclude that life is brief. Life is so very brief. But this leads me on to the third question. And it's simply this. What is death? Because all of us here today, we belong to the race of man. All of us here today have God life. And all of us here today, one day, will enter into death. So these three questions, they concern each and every one of us here today. What is man? What is life? And what is death? Death is the great overtaker of all men and women, boys and girls. Death puts all men onto the exact same level as their neighbor. All men one day will die. The rich, the poor, the weak, the strong, the famous, the unknown. Actors, businessmen, multimillionaires, tycoons, footballers, music stars, inventors, scientists, doctors, prime ministers, kings, queens, the idols of this world, and the ordinary men and women, all day, every day, men from those various walks of life are dying. That is the only thing they have in common. And here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon has this realization himself. Now remember, he's a king. He is a man who has increased more than all that were before him in Jerusalem. He is a man that has wealth in abundance. And in verse 14 he says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And notice this, I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. So Solomon here is talking about the wise man. He's talking about the foolish man. And he says there's going to be one event that will come across the pathway of both of those men. Then said I in my heart, verse 15, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. Even to me. I'm a king. I am a mighty king, and death is going to happen even to me. Solomon realized that he wasn't exempt from dying. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in mine heart, this also is vanity. I hope you didn't miss that here today. In verse 15, Solomon says, this event, it's going to happen to me, even me. I'm going to die. Why then was I not more wise? For all of my wisdom, I was so foolish. I'm going to die, and look how I've spent my life. I've wasted it. I've squandered it. It happens to the fool. It happens to the wise man. It even happens to the king. You know, whenever people die, they leave a legacy behind. They leave wealth, possessions. They leave all of the things that they have. They leave them behind. They leave a good name, they leave prosperity, they leave possessions. And so often it is the case whenever somebody dies that a will is left and then the will is read. And various people, they stand to be beneficiaries of that will. They receive possessions. They receive some of the assets from the deceased. Everything is left behind. And Solomon, he is here and he has grasped this. And it grieves him because he looks now at verse 18, and he looks at all of the labor that he has and all of the possessions that he has. And in verse 19, he asks a question about the person who will follow on after him. Will he be wise or will he be foolish? Read it there in verse 19. First, we'll start at verse 18. Yea, he hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. This is also vanity. You see, Solomon was grieved, not because he was giving these things to people, but because he was wondering how wise they would be with the assets he would give them. He also was grieved because he knew that he had spent his time unwisely. And the word here that Solomon uses is hate. And in the original, that word means to hate. He hated so much his life. He had little regard for life. And what troubled Solomon was, who would come after me?
How would they handle all of the possessions that I leave behind? You know, I wonder, what of it when you die? What about it whenever you die, spending all of your time, all of your health, all of your energy, all of your effort, all of your labor, all of the time that you have of life to accumulate wealth and possessions and to leave a legacy behind? And you will leave it behind. And if we had time today, I have a lot of references here and I don't have time to go through it with you. But we will leave it all behind. Not one single thing will you take with you. Not one sixpence will you take with you. It'll all be left behind. And yet the life that you have, you're spending it to amass as much as you have, and you'll leave it all behind. The valuable things, the possessions that you have. Can you just visualize what way it will be after your death? Whenever your will is read, and the executors of your will, and the beneficiaries of your will get what they have been given by you, and they start to rummage through all of your possessions, and they say, what on earth did they have that for? That's junk. That's rubbish. Why are they keeping that? And they'll go through your possessions piece by piece, and they will say, I'm throwing that in the bin. What did they ever keep that for? That's no use. But to you, that was your precious little possessions that you labored for, that you toiled for, that you sacrificed for, that you saved for, that you scrimped for. And yet the person that comes after you, they will rummage through it, they will sort through it, and they will say, that's a load of rubbish. And they'll throw it in the bin. But the Lord encourages us to lay up treasure in heaven. Turn back to it there. It's in Matthew chapter 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. What the Lord says is, lay treasure up in heaven, where nobody will plunder, nobody will rummage them, nobody will disregard them as rubbish. Because it's treasure there in heaven. You're laboring for eternity. You're receiving your reward from the King of Glory. Solomon never declared that he hated life because he underachieved. He hated life because he knew that what he had done in life would count in eternity. David, his father, had no concerns like Solomon. He didn't set his heart on these things. 1 Kings 3:14, and if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. Today we have discovered that Solomon did not live life in a way that he was able to fulfill that promise. Solomon's days, they were cut short. Solomon, that promise was never fulfilled that we read thereof in Kings, because he didn't walk in the statutes and the commandments that God had laid down for him. Let me ask you today, how is it for you? How is it for you? You're just a man. That's all you are. You're just a man. You're a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Can I ask you today, are you saved? Has your sins been washed away? No matter why you're not saved, no matter for whatever reason that you're disregarding what Jesus did for you on the cross, I'll tell you, it's foolishness. Run to Christ. Have your sins washed away. Be ready for heaven. Young person, one day you will die. Old person, one day you will die. And then one day you'll stand before God. How will you stand? We are living a short life to please ourselves. One day we will leave it all behind and we will be lost for all of God's eternity. What about you, Christian? Are you living a life like Solomon? Will you have to conclude at the end of your life? As you look back over the years of your life, I hated life. I hated all of my labors. You know, I should have done more for God. I should have done more for God. Or will you be able to say, as it says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that great day. You know, friend, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm working toward. Possessions and assets and finance and all of those things, they're good and proper. And I don't disregard those, and I don't despise anyone that has those things. But the problem with Solomon was, those were the things which he put his heart upon. He set his affections on the things of this earth. Friend, if you set your affections on the things of eternity,
If you set your affections on serving the Lord, if you set your affections on laying up treasure in heaven, and the Lord blesses you with all of those other things, He has promised to do that in Matthew 6, verse 33. And take those as blessings that the Lord has given to you. Let me ask you today, and with this I close, are you bankrupt here today in Korean? No heavenly treasure? You're bust! You're bust! You're bankrupt! You have no heavenly treasure, but you have worldly wealth and abundance. A wealth that one day God will just reach down and take you away from. There is more concern today in this earth in which we live about what possessions a man has than what really the man is. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. What is man? He's nothing. What is life? It's short. What is death? It's sure. Friend, today I trust this message has been a challenge to your heart. Life should be valued. Life should be appreciated and enjoyed. But it should be lived in the light of God's great eternity. Let's close our time in a word of prayer.